All right, Tuesday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. I really do hope everybody is doing good in these weird and crazy times that we are living in. Just a few things off of the pregame. We learned from Karine Jean-Pierre that it's dangerous to ask questions. We got that. Typical Marxist. Another real quick thing, just on lowering the temperature, lowering the inflammatory rhetoric. Who exactly now, how would you determine which side needs to lower their inflammatory rhetoric? Shall we go over that? Which side needs to lower their inflammatory rhetoric? I would say the side that's committing violent acts would be the side that needs to lower their inflammatory rhetoric. And you're like, I know the 785 people that are watching right now, not counting Christian Television Network. Some people would say anyway, not those that are watching this program, but some people would say, why does it always have to be sides? Because as the Bible says, Matthew 5:37, let your yes be yes, your no be no. Whatever's more than these is from the evil one. A house divided against itself cannot stand, Mark 3:25. So you do have to choose sides. And it's very easy to tell which side needs to lower their inflammatory rhetoric or lower the temperature on their inflammatory rhetoric. Because the Butler shooting was committed by a Democrat. The West Palm Beach latest assassination attempt at the golf course, committed by a Democrat. Last school shooting was committed by a Democrat. And as Aaron brought up when Karine Jean-Pierre was talking about Paul Pelosi's house being burglarized and him being assaulted during that burglary, that was also committed by a Democrat. So who exactly needs to lower their inflammatory political rhetoric? I think it would be the side that's committing the violent acts. I think that's a pretty simple assessment. Would everybody agree on that? I think it's a pretty easy assessment. Let me say it, everybody in the chat, right there at the bottom, S. Clark 1968 is on. Malamute Lover is on. Michelle's Michaels Clark is on. La Picket Fence is on. Jeannie Malfeasy is on. Tammy Almar Gritter is on. Gritterdom is on. Scooter 8887 is on. Sun Gun's on. Why Not Me is on. Aaron's on, thank goodness. Moto WRN JBH. If I don't get your names right, guys, please forgive me. Mike Griffith's on. That's an easy one. Alpha Acres is on. Satcom 9475 is on. East Trout is on. Neon Widow's on. Todd Suff is on. Jack and Davey are on. 23. I just lost you. There he is. Justin Blake is on. Waterline 46 is on. Lizzie 859 is on. Sheila K is on. Hands Like Donovan is on. D9597 is on. Ugly Stick is on. Love some of the names, you guys. It cracks me up. It's actually hard to get by them. A Sun Gun is on. Bud Dave is on. Itchy McGroin is on. Veronica 18201 is on. Q13013 is on. Eeg 8302 is on. Love you guys. Really do appreciate each and every one of you. Let's hop right to this now. We're going to deep dive right away. We're going to do, for sure, I'm predicting tonight, 10:07. 10:07. Mark my words. I'm serious. I'm staying at 10:07. You can put your bets on the chat right now. It's not really bets, just so everybody knows. Not really bets. Put them on 10:07. I was only 26 minutes over what I said I was going to do yesterday.
Ouchie.
As I said, 10:11 last night got done at 10:37. But anyway, I'm not going to go that late. I'm not going to go that late tonight. I promise. At least I can't say I promise. I got early ones coming in. J.N. Jones 10:17. D9597 kind of believes in me. He's got 10:12. Mara Z, 11:07. Holy moly, 11:07.
That's realistic.
Wow. All right, let's hop right through this. All right, deep dive on the second attempt on Trump's life. Really looking more into who is this guy, Ryan Routh. I know people are calling him Ryan Ruth. It sounds like Routh to me. Some people are saying Ralph, some people are saying Ruth. It doesn't really matter. And then we're going to get into the false flag operation that is the P. Diddy, Sean Combs, P. Diddy arrest, which, of course, just strangely happens roughly after a day after the attempted assassination on Donald Trump, or not a day after, a couple days after. When was the day? It started, it's kind of blurring. It was after.
It was Sunday.
Was Sunday, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was Sunday. So roughly a day after, within 48 hours. Lo and behold, they've been eyeballing him for decades, really, P. Diddy. And lo and behold, of course, right when the information's coming out about Ryan Routh, they're going to go in and do a home invasion, home invasion, well, that'd be a crime. But, well, it's the FBI, so you're like, what are you, Tom? Are you a P. Diddy fan? Absolutely not. Can't stand the guy. Absolutely can't stand the guy. You know who else I couldn't stand? His predecessor, Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah.
Both very religious, devout Democrats, both of them, and both having a lot to hide, and both hiding a lot for other people. So it's just very strange that within roughly 48 hours of us discovering who Ryan Routh is, the Trump would-be assassin, P. Diddy's house gets raided by the FBI. They say search warrant, whatever, search warrant execution by the FBI. And the man, they went in there like with an army of people. So anyway, let's deep dive first into Ryan Routh. Mike Benz video. We're going to do three Mike Benz videos in a row. Again, if you don't know this guy, subscribe to him on Twitter. It's titled 15 Minutes of Fire. We're not doing 15 minutes. Each video is about 2 minutes long. Deep down the rabbit hole of Ryan Routh. Play for me, Heather.
Bus into Ukraine. Now, why was he saying that? Well, what Ryan Routh was doing is he was collecting thousands, literally thousands of passports of terrorists in foreign countries, in CIA war zones, and telling them to not tell their local embassy that they're traveling, but instead go directly through him as a middleman, because he can secure them visas. Now, something explosive that I found on a stream last night is that in some of his Facebook posts, he references his communications with the U.S. Embassy in Kiev, the very U.S. Embassy who overthrew the government, who orchestrated the CIA coup of the Ukrainian government in 2014. And what this was he was collecting all these passports, setting up this giant operation on a static web page, on social media, in WhatsApp channels, in order to get no-look visas for terrorists, which, mind you, is the exact same operation that was written about in a book by Michael Springman, who was a senior State Department official in Saudi Arabia in the run-up to 9/11. He wrote a book called Visas for Terrorists, and in that book, he describes how he was working at the U.S. consulate in Jeddah in Saudi Arabia in the run-up to 9/11. And that most of the people in the consulate at the State Department were working for the CIA, and their formal cover was a State Department attaché there. His boss at the State Department also was working with the CIA. Now, who was the head of the CIA station in Saudi Arabia at that time when the CIA was pressuring him to give visas to terrorists? Let me know if this name rings a bell. At the time, the head of the CIA station house in Saudi Arabia was a man named John Brennan. John Brennan was the man responsible, effectively, for giving visas out of Saudi Arabia to the 9/11 hijackers. That same John Brennan, the head of the CIA station house doing this visas for terrorists operation, would become Obama's chief of the Central Intelligence Agency just years later. And what Ryan Routh appears to be doing is the same thing, except serving as, you know, a fifth or sixth degree back channel for the same CIA visas for terrorist operation that happened in the run-up to 9/11.
See, it's very much like The Matrix, and it's way overused, but listen, everybody just needs to be red-pilled. Everything that I thought was real 5 years ago, I've come to discover is not real. And you couldn't have been more of a solid conservative than I was. Solid conservative, Trump supporter, obviously voted for him in 16. Obviously voted for him in 2020. By then I'd been red pilled, but I'm just saying but you know what? I didn't know that the CIA, most of the people working in US consulates around the world are CIA agents or operatives of the CIA. It's just the way that it is, folks. I'm trying not to be overly repetitive from last night, but we all need to come to the realization that what is named America and what are called American interests or Democrat interests, and I don't mean Democratic Party, Democratic interests around the globe, are actually government merged with corporate interests. In other words, what you have is an endless circle bleep symbiote where governmental officials, when they're not in government, work for large corporations. And when they're not working for the large corporations, i.e. Exxon, and Shell, that were right behind Victoria Nuland when she was orchestrating the 2014 color revolution of Ukraine for the corporate interests, for her own personal corporate interests, for her own personal interest, and for, you know, so that people get large billion-dollar contracts in countries. And those things are named. So you have all of these people around the world, whether it's John Kerry, whether it's John Brennan, whether it's the Bidens and numerous others, Romneys, Pelosis, who have a giant stake in the merging of corporatism and government, which is fascism. There is no other definition. Fascism doesn't even include racism. Fascism is the merging, the becoming of one of governments and corporations. So that's what's happened around the globe. So when you see us fighting in these wars that make no sense, that have never benefited you, that have never secured your neighborhood, while they're infiltrating your neighborhood with thousands upon thousands of illegal immigrant criminals that not only cross the southern border, but those that they don't want to inconvenience by making them cross the southern border, actually fly into the country. Those things that are named democratic interests and American interests are actually private interests of the globalists that are controlling that cabal. They're actually private interests. That's why you've heard me say many times, why is it that Anthony Fauci's emails are redacted when he's not in the CIA, when he's not fighting for national security, he's not a member of military intelligence. No, but what Anthony Fauci is he's merged with corporations, i.e. Gilead, which is the maker of Remdesivir, which causes mass organ failure, but that doesn't matter to Anthony Fauci because he would never let that get in the way of his own personal self-aggrandizement and profiteering. He's merged with Moderna, where he refuses to answer questions on Capitol Hill about how much in royalties he personally received and how much in royalties did NIH scientists receive. You have the merging of the FDA and the merging of the NIH. The very people that they are supposed to be governing are responsible, actually pay for half of their financing. How in the world are you going to govern? How in the world are you going to basically fine people, be enforcement over them when they are paying your salary? That would be like when I was a cop, I would drive to somebody's house and they say, hey, Tom, we paid your paycheck this week. So that is what you're seeing. That is what the entire world is about. Whether it's Emmanuel Macron or Angela Merkel or Klaus Schwab or Justin Trudeau or the Bidens, that's why when you have an independent person come in, an outsider, a non-globalist named Donald Trump, he must go. So he's facing 700 years in prison, 91 felony counts, already been found guilty of 34 of them. Not only that, but trying to crush his business with his ridiculous Letitia James lawsuit, fining him $500 million for committing no crime of fraud, for committing civil fraud with no victim. The E. Jean Carroll lawsuit, where he's been, now all the leftists, because that's the point of it all, now they can call him a convicted felon. They can call him a real estate fraudster. They can call him a sexual abuser, a rapist, and all that because they changed the statute of limitations, allowing E. Jean Carroll to civilly sue him for sexual assault, a sexual assault with no witnesses, well, there really is no victim, of course, no witnesses at all, no date, no time, no DNA, no cameras, no evidence they ever met, nothing, but he's found guilty of it anyway. So back to the mic. I just wanted to lay the groundwork for it. If you watch Mike Benz, he'll really lay these groundworks for you. Almost such deep rabbit holes you have to take notes while he's talking. But that is what you're seeing. That is what COVID was all about. That's what climate change is all about, is corporate interests merged with government called American interests. Just like you see totalitarians like Tim Walz and like Hillary Clinton in the pregame talking about censoring your speech in the name of democracy. So they have renamed totalitarianism, democracy. Tim Walz said it. You don't have a right. You don't have a right to say hate speech. You don't have a right to say hateful things because you're not allowed to do it so that we can preserve our democracy. You're going to censor speech to preserve democracy. It's just like you can't question an election. You have wretched witless Dana Nessel in Michigan, where you have election workers now, where if you do not certify the election, Jocelyn Benson will come after you. She's in charge of the elections there. She will come after you personally. If you don't certify, isn't that the point of being an election supervisor, is to determine whether or not you are to approve of certify this election? Isn't that the point of it? But now you're mandated in the name of democracy, which is actually disguised totalitarianism. It's totalitarianism with a democracy label. That's the game that's going on around the globe. Everything that we see outside of the Trump orbit, and sometimes Trump caves to globalism too. He did with COVID. If he didn't cave to COVID, he'd be president right now. Sadly, Mike Pence will be running for president probably right now. But anyway, Trump would currently be president, but he caved to COVID like in a way he shouldn't have. Like some of you are like, no, he didn't mandate. I get he didn't mandate, but he caved way too long. Just so you know, it cost him because that put in the infrastructure for the fraudulent election. So back to the Ben's video here. So Ryan Routh had close ties with the Ukrainian embassy. Now, again, let's look at who Ryan Routh is. Ryan Routh is a construction worker from North Carolina who has been convicted 70 times of crimes. Now, Tom, did you mean 7? No, 70. 70 criminal convictions. Not sure if it's 70. One of those convictions or one of those charges was that he was in possession of a weapon of mass destruction. So somehow this guy with close ties to the Ukrainian embassy, which, by the way, Mitch, which means you are a CIA cutout, because you wouldn't have close ties. And all those working inside of the consulates and the embassies, most of them are CIA cutouts. As we saw during the faux Ukraine impeachment hoax, where you had Vindman come up, and all the rest of the line of morons that came up that were testifying against Donald Trump, and they were all actually just CIA cutouts. So lo and behold, this man who ends up in the woods, Trump is on hole 5. He is camped out for 12 hours on hole 6 with an AK-47 and food and a GoPro so he can tape himself killing Donald Trump. This guy with close Ukrainian ties, close, and I'm not talking about he lived in Ukraine, which he did, but I'm talking about ties to the Ukrainian government, the Ukrainian embassy. He was facilitating thousands of what are called no-look visas, and he just ends up on the golf course. This wasn't a CIA operation as it was to kill JFK. This wasn't a CIA operation like it was to kill Ronald Reagan. It really? This guy who is orchestrating thousands of passports for CIA-trained jihadists in Afghanistan to then go and fight in Ukraine. This guy just happens to end up on a West Palm Beach golf course on a Sunday afternoon on hole 6 when Trump was on hole 5. And only 10 people on the planet knew that Trump was going to be there. There is no way. Everybody needs to stop the pretenses. And if I hear another, I won't do anything, but if I hear another person say that this is possibly a Iranian plot, you're an idiot. You're an idiot. It's nothing to do with Iran. Nothing. Tom must like Iran. No, I don't like Iran. I don't like Putin. I don't like Zelensky. I don't like the mullahs in Iran. I don't like the leadership in Iraq. I don't like the leadership in Pakistan or India either. But I'm just saying, so I'm just certainly not taking sides here, except the side that I take is for the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, and the Constitution. What America was, again, quoting Gladiator, there was a dream that was Rome. There was a dream that was America. America needs to be a republic again. So this person, I mean, Ryan Routh, is peddling in no-look passports, thousands of them, to bring you CIA-trained Afghani fighters into Ukraine, then he ends up on the sixth hole of a golf course Trump set for 12 hours. And that's all just a coincidence, just a madman just shows up there, right? And then you look at the parallels between what he was doing as a foot soldier, as a low-ranking cutout, in comparison to a high-ranking consulate cutout by the name of John Brennan, who ends up being the director of the CIA, who orchestrated the entire collusion hoax, who then orchestrated the entire Ukraine phone call hoax. And let's all just go ahead and assume whether it's DHS, State Department, CIA, or FBI orchestrated the Fedsurrection 1-6 hoax, where there was no guns at all, but 1,000 arrests. So Brennan himself was doing the exact same thing Ryan Routh was doing. He was orchestrating no-look passports And what a no-look passport is basically getting a passport around your home authority, your home country authority. You just get on a plane, show up at the country they want you at, whether it was Ryan Routh showing up in Ukraine, and they'll just work your passport out for you. No-look passport. Brennan was doing the exact same thing for the 9/11 hijackers. So I think now we can drop all pretense. We have, as we talked about on 9/11 just a few days ago, we have the heroes of 9/11, which were the firefighters and the cops and the Port Authority, people on Flight 93. All of that, we have the heroes of the firefighters at the Pentagon, people that drag bodies out, legitimate heroes, but are having to be heroes because of a government orchestrated plot. We all need to drop the pretense. How did, Aaron, do you remember the building numbers? How, the building next to the World Trade Center buildings?
I think it was building three.
Yeah, building three. How did it fall? I mean, and then explain to me, and I'm not going to get deep into this, but explain to me how you have a cascading effect in the World Trade Center, how they just collapse, pop, pop, like pancakes. That is everybody that knows anything who's not a CIA cutout, who actually has courage, who will speak the truth, even though there's consequences to speaking the truth, will come out and tell you that that is impossible for a building to fall like that. It is whether it's geometry, whether it's architecturally, whatever it is, it's impossible. Building 7. I knew it was, thought 7.
Yeah.
I let you convince me of
that. Yeah, sorry.
I figured you would know. Aaron's much more of a 9/11 conspiracy theorist than I am. But now Aaron is totally right and I was wrong. So, I mean, and I already knew that it was a government, or it was orchestrated for them flying into the World Trade Center. I knew all that. The hijackers were government. I just didn't know, but I'm like, the building could have just fallen. But now you look at no, it's demoed. I mean, let's just all be honest with this. That's the status. So John Brennan was doing the exact same thing as Ryan Routh, but for the 9/11 hijackers, getting them, get this though, getting them no-look passports around the globe and into the United States of America. Ryan Routh at least brought the jihadists to Ukraine. John Brennan, who ends up running the CIA, was bringing the 9/11 hijackers into the United States using no-look visas. All right, let's go to video two. Mike Benz, play for me, Heather.
Well, it's stunning. It was only 1 month ago, about like 5 weeks ago, we were told that the CIA had foiled an attempted assassination plot against Donald Trump by a Pakistani national with ties to Iran who was plotting a murder-for-hire operation to have somebody in the United States shoot Donald Trump. Now, Ryan Routh, I have an article pulled up right here that was cited by Raheem Kassam, where this is Ryan Routh was seeking recruits from among Afghan soldiers who fled the Taliban. Mr. Routh, who spent several months in Ukraine last year, said he planned to move them, in some cases illegally, from Pakistan and Iran to Ukraine. He said dozens expressed interest. He actually said thousands on his Facebook page. And then Ryan Routh continued, "We can probably purchase some passports through Pakistan, since it's such a corrupt country," he said in an interview from Washington. So Ryan Routh is bringing Pakistani nationals through Iran to his warfighting effort. He's the guy who, we're told, just attempted to assassinate Trump. A month ago, the CIA said they had advanced knowledge of a plot to assassinate Trump that was connected to Pakistani nationals traveling through Iran. Now, you know, not to put the cart before the horse, but Ryan Routh sounds like exactly the operation the CIA described a month ago.
These are just very strange coincidences, aren't they? So you have the FBI / CIA and State Department talk about they stopped a Pakistani national with ties to Iran. That's the whole Iran assassination attempt of Donald Trump, which people have erroneously tied to Butler. So you have this, the FBI, our heroes stopped this Pakistani national with ties to Iran. And if you actually read it, I needed to have pulled that up. I should have pulled it up. If you actually read what this guy had done, it's a joke. It's a joke. But anyway, so this Pakistani national with ties to Iran is trying to orchestrate an assassination attempt against Donald Trump. And lo and behold, And of course, he gets stopped, and I'll get into a deeper perspective on this in just a second. But so then you have Routh, whatever it is, Routh do the basically the exact same thing. He gets Pakistani nationals, takes them through Iran. Remember, the FBI's arrest, guy comes from Pakistan, goes to Iran, then comes to the United States to assassinate Donald Trump. Routh goes to Pakistan, goes to Iran, and takes the Pakistani nationals to Ukraine. So basically, you've got Routh doing the exact same thing as the Pakistani national arrested by the FBI. Now, here's a deeper concept. See, what is really happening is it's the Federal Bureau of Instigation. It's the CIA, whatever it is. What they do, just so everybody knows, is they orchestrate lots and lots of crimes, and then they arrest whoever they want. You're like, wait a minute, you mean they arrest their own operatives? Yes, that's what Crooks was. They just made sure Crooks didn't leave Butler, Pennsylvania alive so he could never testify, which the odds of Ryan Routh being alive by the end of this month are not good. Suddenly, he's going to probably become suicidal. I hope not. I don't want anybody to die. But anyway, so what they do is they simply con all of these people. You look at pictures of Ryan Routh, which, by the way, we'll do a side-by-side in a minute. Looks like E. Jean Carroll's brother or twin brother. And I'm not saying that anything, nothing conspiratorial about it. Just weirdos. That's what the CIA and the FBI, when they get their assets, they go after these vulnerable weirdos who need some sort of cause in life. So they find them and they instigate them to commit crimes. Some of them they arrest, some of them they don't. But it's all the FBI. But like you, Tommy, you're saying every, not saying every crime, but you look at these international things. I mean, again, if you go even back to the collusion hoax, it was all instigated by John Brennan and the CIA going to Five Eyes countries and doing what's called bumps on Five Eyes countries intelligence officials. They do a little bump on. What they do is they take the intelligence officials, whether it's MI6 or from Australia, from New Zealand, and like they did with George Papadopoulos, go up there and say to them, just go up to George Papadopoulos and say, Hillary Clinton. And George Papadopoulos goes, what about Hillary Clinton? I've heard, then the op goes, I've heard maybe the Russians want to infiltrate her campaign. And George Papadopoulos goes, I've never heard of Russians infiltrating her campaign. And then they say George Papadopoulos is talking about Russians infiltrating her campaign. By the way, that's exactly what happened. Now, some people get arrested, some people don't. Whatever is convenient for the overall op gets done or not done. So that's what happened. So then there again, just like the similarities between Routh and Brennan, now you have the exact same similarities between this Pakistani national with ties to Iran and Routh. You have basically the exact same. Again, these people aren't smart. They're just zealous. They're just zealous people. Same exact path. Palestine, Iran, U.S. for the person who's going to assassinate Donald Trump. For Routh, he goes Pakistan, Iran, Ukraine. Same thing, because he said Pakistan is very easy to get people out of. All right, let's go to the third video. Play for me, Heather.
Ryan Routh was crisscrossing through the holy trinity of blobcraft, which is the Pentagon, the CIA, and the State Department, in the sense that this was a military operation in Ukraine to capacity build the Ukrainian army and to beef up their ranks with more cannon fodder. It was a CIA operation in the sense that this is plausibly deniable, human trafficking, essentially, and criminal activity that would normally be a felony crime, but you are allowed to commit authorized crimes as part of the CIA in furtherance of a national security operation, as long as you have Justice Department blessing. And the fact is what he was doing was highly illegal. I mean, not only did he have 70 felonies on his record, which is stunning in itself, but then this whole no-look visas, send me your passports and I'll back-channel it to the U.S. Embassy in Ukraine. That's the CIA operation in visas for terrorists that we were doing in the run-up to 9/11. And then you have the only people who can grant those visas are the State Department. So Ryan Routh was serving as a State Department back-channel for the CIA visas for terrorist operation to assist the Pentagon. You literally, he's right smack dab in the exact center of where the CIA meets the DOD, meets the State Department. And just so people understand, he is a crazy person. You know, he obviously has that sort of E. Jean Carroll kooky eye, you know, sort of cadence to his interviews. But the fact is this is not uncommon, because what oftentimes the way this happens is the CIA has an operation, or the U.S. Special Forces has an operation, where they want to recruit crazy extremists to come fight a war a zillion miles away from where they live.
So the couple of things I said, those other 70 felonies on his record. I said 70 criminal offenses, but 70 felonies on his record. Working with close ties to what Mike Benz calls the holy trinity of the globalist blob, which is the Pentagon, the CIA, and the State Department. How does this guy, with ties to the Pentagon, CIA, and State Department, running no-look passports into the United States Embassy in Ukraine so that they can continue to gin up a war, because they're running out of bodies. 500,000 Ukrainians are already dead. So they need more warm bodies to fight this war. So let's go get CIA operative trained jihadists out of Pakistan, out of Afghanistan, have them come through Iran, no-look passports, into the Ukraine. And just like Brennan was doing with the 9/11 hijackers into the United States of America. Just like the CIA was doing when they, or the CIA / FBI, arrested the Pakistani national who leaves Pakistan, goes to Iran, ends up in America. And then you have Routh going and getting operatives out of Pakistan to Iran, to Ukraine. And then this guy just shows up on the sixth hole right ahead of Donald Trump. And that's all just because he's some kind of whack job. No, folks. That is basically clinically impossible. I mean, it is forensically impossible that this man with close ties to the Pentagon, CIA, State Department, running no-look passports for years. How does he, who pays for all those? Who pays for all that? Who pays for his flights? Who pays for his housing? Certainly isn't his construction business in North Carolina, is it? Because he doesn't even live there. Is never successful in any. How would you ever be successful with 70 felony convictions or 70 felonies on your record? But he just shows up. Somebody just ends up on that sixth hole, right? And I just showed you this picture because I thought it was funny. There's E. Jean Carroll right next to him. It's kind of weird. I mean, they look like brothers. And so, I mean, they actually look like brothers. E. Jean Carroll probably isn't even a woman. I mean, but there you go. I mean, it's just kind of weird. I mean, it really is weird. And that's what they do, is they get people like this. I mean, E. Jean Carroll, if you ever watch any interview with the woman, she is certifiably out of her mind. And that's who they got to come up and just say, you know what, Trump raped me. Because there's no consequences to her. She has no soul, so it doesn't even bother her. And then someone like Ryan Routh, who's got 70 felony convictions or 70 felonies on his record. I don't know if he's convicted or not. But what's he going to do with his life? You know, we got a cause for you, buddy. We got a cause for you. And it wasn't, listen, they wanted him to succeed at hole six. They wanted him to succeed on Sunday. But luckily, the real heroes are the people that aren't in the know, but are having to respond to the globalist cabal. And that was Trump's personal protection team. And they saw the AK-47 barrel sticking out of the woods and open fire on the guy. Otherwise, Trump would be dead right now. All right, let's go to the next one. John Solomon tweet, breaking, suspected Trump assassin flagged by U.S. What a shock. During return from Ukraine, but Homeland refused probes. So let's look at this record now. We're supposed to believe. Now, remember, in 2019, you're like, Tom, you already covered this. No, this is new. Look at the date. This is new. You're talking about, Tom, the FBI, which you had Veltri come out. That's the anti-Trump FBI agent in charge of the Trump assassination investigation, who had to be ordered by Christopher Wray to wipe clean his social media posts of anti-Trump rhetoric. I thought you got fired if you had any sort of political bias on your social media, but not if you're, as long as the social bias is the right social, the right, as long as your political bias is the right approved political bias, you're allowed. If it's not approved, then you're out. And Veltri also was the one who made sure that he cleansed the FBI of Trump supporters, ex-military, and people who attend religious ceremonies. That's the guy in charge of the second Trump assassination investigation, Veltri. But anyway, so this is new. Now, in 2019, Veltri has already spoken about this. They had the FBI got a tip that Ryan Routh, a 70-time convicted felon or a multi-time convicted felon, one of those convictions or one of those charges was, I don't know how many times he's convicted and what he was, well, he is a convicted felon, but how many times he was convicted and so forth and so on, I don't know. But one of those charges was that he was in possession of a weapon of mass destruction. What on earth does that even freaking mean, man? I mean, and again, he's walking free. He's been charged with being in possession of a weapon of mass destruction, but then he's a CIA cutout running no-look passports for them for years going into Ukraine. But he just shows up on the sixth hole of a golf course, right? It's all just coincidence. So you have in 2019, a report comes into the FBI that he's in possession of a rifle or of a gun, and the FBI goes to investigate. They talk to the tipster. The tipster wouldn't verify that he's the tipster that has dropped it. They never did anything with it. They know who this guy is. They know who all of these people are. It goes back, and again, I don't mean to keep bringing up old news, but it goes back to the Carter Page incident. It goes back to when Carter Page, he was a CIA cutout. He was a CIA operative, The FBI, when they were looking to tap his phone so that they could one-hop to Trump, I don't have time to get all this, read Bongino's books or listen to Bongino, so that they wanted to wiretap Carter Page because they wanted to one-hop, because if you whoever's the target of your tapping, you are allowed to one-hop that tap to another phone. So they wanted to one-hop from Carter Page as a low-ranking sort of Trump campaign official, so to speak, or campaign worker, really. So they wanted to tap his phone. Not because Carter Page was suspected of anything, because he had no Russian ties whatsoever. And his Russian ties that he did have were because he was a CIA operative. So the FBI calls up the CIA. Actually, it's all on email, which caused the FBI attorney to get disbarred and convicted of a crime, but now has been got his license back now. But anyway, so the CIA calls the FBI, or the FBI calls CIA and says, Carter Page, one of your operatives? The CIA sends back to the FBI, yes, he is. So anything he's had to do with Russia is approved by us. The FBI attorney, remember the FBI, one of the FBI's offices is inside of Perkins Coie in Washington, D.C., who orchestrated the entire collusion hoax. That's a coincidence, right? Remember this. You have the DNC, Hillary Clinton, hire Perkins Coie, who then hired Fusion GPS, who then hired Igor Danchenko and ginned up the entire collusion hoax. Inside that office, I don't know about inside the office. I believe he was, but I don't remember for sure. But the FBI attorney wrote back to the CIA. The CIA wrote back to the FBI. It's a little confusing with all the acronyms. But anyway, FBI asked the CIA, is Carter Page your operative? CIA says, yes, he is, on an email. And the FBI attorney changed it to, no, he isn't. And that's what he got convicted for. And we're all supposed to believe, though, that the rest of the collusion hoax was above board. The rest of the collusion hoax was completely and totally honest, right? Same thing with all of this. 2019, they get a credible tip that Ryan Routh is in possession of an illegal firearm in violation of federal gun laws. They don't do anything about it because the tipster won't verify that he's the tipster. The tipster is probably an FBI cutout. But anyway, so the tipster won't verify these tips, so they just drop the whole thing. They just drop the entire thing, and they turn it over to local law enforcement, who did absolutely nothing. They could have just simply made a phone call. So that's one thing. And now he gets flagged by the U.S. State Department during return from Ukraine, and Homeland Security does nothing about it. So who is that once again? Who's in charge of Homeland Security? Alejandro Mayorkas. Once again, the guy who's orchestrating the invasion of America from Haiti, the invasion of America from Venezuela, the invasion of America from Mexico, invasion of America from China, the invasion of America from Eastern European countries, and many other 169 countries have illegally crossed the border under the Biden administration. That's being orchestrated by the very guy who refused to respond to the fact that Ryan Routh was flagged. Like, in other words, basically, he's on the terrorist watch list. But what Alejandro Mayorkas is concerned about are MAGA moms at school boards who are saying, you know what? I don't want my 15-year-old daughter showering with 18-year-old boys in the bathroom at the high school. That's what Mayorkas and that's what the FBI care about. Not about somebody who's coming back from a foreign country who's been flagged by the government. Like, this guy is a problem. It was blown off, and absolutely nothing was done about it. All right, let's go to the next thing. And again, this guy just shows up on the sixth hole. That he, there's no way that anybody orchestrated this. This guy's not suspicious. He doesn't have ties to, you know, of course, the CIA, ties to the State Department, ties even to the military, ties to the Ukrainian embassy, ties to those who want the perpetual war for their own profiteering in Ukraine. All right, the older millennial video. So Merrick Garland has refused to classify what happened on the West Palm Beach golf course, the assassination attempt, as an assassination attempt. Let me just put a precursor on this. This is from the same Justice Department. Remember, I talked about this last night. When you had the Steve Scalise shooting from the Bernie Sanders supporter, went up and shot up the Republican baseball practice, nearly killing Steve Scalise, and was gunned down by Capitol Police. Now, how was that categorized by the FBI? They categorized that not as an assassination attempt, not as an insurrection. This is a guy who actually, remember the what they call an insurrection, as a bunch of people who were tear gassed and shot with rubber bullets. When the, while they were still being peaceful, they were shot at with rubber bullets and tear gassed with metal containers of that tear gas launched into the crowd, hitting people with the metal containers and then also making people suffer from tear gas. Not one gun ever even found in connection with 1-6. Not one. But the opposite of that, of course, is when Steve Scalise is actually shot by a man with an AR-15 and numerous other congressmen and or maybe women, I don't know who's at the practice. They were actually shot, but that wasn't an insurrection. So gun, no insurrection. No guns at all, never found, 1,000 people arrested, that's an insurrection, right? Somebody actually shot by the perpetrator, not an insurrection. The people that were protesting are the only ones who died, including Ashley Babbitt, who's the only one who shot, that were not even part, I mean, so the people that were the protesters that were shot, that's an insurrection, right? That's how the government thinks. And they classified the Bernie Sanders shooter, they classified that event, the FBI did, as suicide by cop. That's how they closed it out. Suicide by cop. Not an insurrection, not assassination attempt. This guy just wanted to be shot by cops. If he just wanted to be shot by cops, then why did he shoot Steve Scalise several times? So now Merrick Garland, the FBI, Christopher Wray, they're not going to classify this latest assassination attempt as an assassination attempt. Play for me, Heather.
But the Attorney General Merrick Garland just vetoed charging Ryan Ruth with attempted assassination. So I want you to think about what the thought process of Merrick Garland must be. He must somehow think that this man was in that bush on that golf course for some other reason. Even though this man, Ryan Ruth, has actually written and published a book where he calls for the assassination of Donald Trump. This man then went and camped out in a bush on Donald Trump's golf course for more than 12 hours with body armor and a fully loaded SKS. Like, sure, the rifle you could explain away, but the body armor? You only have body armor if you expect for rounds to be fired at you. And I don't know any animals he'd be hunting with opposable thumbs, so I can only surmise that he was worried about people shooting at him. So there he was, camped out in a bush on Donald Trump's golf course, waiting on the sixth hole, while Donald Trump was on the fifth hole, minutes away from being within range of him. And thankfully, the Secret Service was able to notice the barrel of his rifle sticking out of that bush. And then they opened fire, he fled, and he was eventually apprehended. But to not charge him with attempted assassination, that means that Merrick Garland has found some reason to think that Ryan Ruth was there for some other reason, wearing body armor and carrying a fully loaded rifle. I'm just curious, what other reason could that be? What other reason could a man who's written and published a book calling for Donald Trump's assassination, wearing body armor with a fully loaded rifle, hiding in a bush on Trump's golf course in a spot where Trump was going to be within a couple minutes, what other reason did he have to be there? Like, somebody give me something. I'd love to hear Merrick Garland tell us why he thought Ryan Ruth was there. Because to not charge him with attempted assassination, that means that Merrick Garland thinks there is another good reason he was there, other than to take a shot at Donald Trump. I'm just curious what that reason could possibly
be. So the most poignant point of what the older millennial is saying right there is give us the reason that he was there. If it wasn't an assassination attempt, was he trespassing? Was he looking to play free golf? There had to be a reason why you have a 57-year-old man who is running no-look passports for the CIA into the Ukrainian embassy, again, you know, I don't mean to keep going, who is a 70-time felon, wrote a book about assassinating Donald Trump, sitting there with a fully loaded SKS rifle, a GoPro, body armor, food, and two backpacks, was there for 12 hours. What was the exact reason he was there if it wasn't to assassinate him? And again, I have filled out as a cop again for 25 years. For those of you who haven't watched the podcast before, 1992, 2017, you Google my name right now, Tom Lipley, see Sarasota County Sheriff's Office come up right where I'm sitting right now, sitting in the southern end of Sarasota County right now. When you are filling out a charging affidavit, either called a capias or a probable cause affidavit, sometimes a warrant, you have to have probable cause. And it has to meet certain elements. It has to be elements met for you to charge somebody with a crime, because there's elements of a crime that actually constitute a crime, right? So a burglary is unlawful entering of a building or a conveyance with intent to commit a crime therein. That's a burglary, right? So you have to have those things to charge them with a burglary. So in order to be charged with a burglary, it has to be actually a subsequent crime like a theft or a battery. But I digress. So what elements are not met here of an assassination attempt? Can anybody tell me? The barrel was sticking out of the woods, was shot at, had scratched out. He had removed the serial number off of his SKS rifle. He was sitting in there with a GoPro and body armor and a fully loaded rifle and food and a GoPro. What other element needs to be met for it to be an assassination attempt? Him to fire the gun? Absolutely not. That is not an element of an assassination attempt. But Merrick Garland, in such bold audacity, again, you know, it's just amazing to me. You see, the problem is with when it comes to the left is that nobody has any integrity. It used to be back in the Tip O'Neill, Ronald Reagan days, a leftist that, you know, they weren't leftists. They were actually liberals then. Now they're Goebbels, Hitler, Maduro style leftists. They're communists and Marxists, Stalinists for all intents and purposes, So back then you could reason with a liberal, because really a liberal was really in some ways, and don't take this as an insult, what we are now. We are anti-war as Trumpsters. We are pro-law enforcement. Back there, liberals, you know, they wanted cops to stay out of their lives. We want cops to stay out of our lives. I mean, it's very, very similar between liberal and libertarian, right? And I would be more, if you were to situate me or put a label on me, I would be a very conservative libertarian. I don't want the legalization of hard drugs or anything like that. I'm just saying, back then you could reason with these people. But now anybody who associates themselves with the Democratic Party will tote whatever that party line is, which is why you see the leaving of the party by people like Elon Musk, by Tulsi Gabbard, people like that are saying, you know what? We're going to leave. Because they can't tote this line. In order for you to tote the line of Merrick Garland's audacious statement that Ryan Routh is not going to be charged with an assassination attempt, you have to be devoid of all reason. You have to be delusional. You have to be devoid of all integrity and human dignity. To sit back, and I've seen these people. I've seen Ed Krasenstein put it out there. There's no evidence that this was an assassination attempt. This was actually put out by many left-wing pundits on X. There's no evidence that this was an assassination attempt. Then, as the older millennial says, then why was Ryan Routh on the sixth hole with Trump on the fifth hole with a fully loaded SKS, with body armor, with a GoPro, and was there for 12 hours with two backpacks? Explain that to me. Then why was he shot at? Why was the barrel of the gun sticking out of the woods? Why was he shot at by the Secret Service? And why was he in a car chase with the Martin County Sheriff's Office. What other elements need to be met here? And again, this goes back to, into last week. How can you be a leftist? How can you be a leftist? Again, if you want to believe crazy leftist socialist things, that's one thing. But you have to lie and you have to actually deny reality. You have to deny facts. You have to deny that which is obvious, that which your eyes see. Then you're getting into Orwellian 1984 time. But again, that's exactly what the left is now anyway, because they deny women are men and men are women anyway. But again, but here, it's so audacious for, and Garland can get away with it because nobody in the, they don't care about us on the right. They don't care if we call them out. They don't care if we call them hypocrites. They don't care if we call them crazy people. All they care about is hanging on to and gaining more power. That's the purpose of the entire global cabal, which has been renamed American interests, which are actually just the interests. It's amazing that many leftists are willing to be third world serfs and Goebbels and just basically frontline workers for something that will never benefit them. The only thing what I call the leftist bourgeois elitist global cabal, the only people that benefits are the Oprah Winfrey's of the world and the Leonardo DiCaprio's and the Hollywood elitists and the high ranking politicians. It's never going to benefit you to tote their line or lines for them. I'm just giving everybody a countdown on CTN right now, Christian Television Network. We're going to be leaving in 15 seconds. CTN is not cutting me off. Don't write them anymore. They're not doing it. They're not cutting me off. Go to Rumble. Go to Rumble right here. Go to Rumble. Right now, go to Rumble. We're about to be cut off in 3, 2, 1. Here we are. All right, so we're still here. But anyway, let's go to the next one. Jonathan T. Gillum video. Trying to verify if these two BlackRock commercials with the two assassins in them are real. If they are, I'm pushing the game over button. By the way, it has been confirmed and it is real. Play it for me.
The action is to appeal to world leaders, world organization.
My name is Brian DeLallo. I teach AP and honors economics in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
So strange coincidence again. I'm going to just play this over and over again. Two BlackRock commercials. There's Ryan Routh in the BlackRock commercial. And then here we go. Thomas Crooks will be on here. And there's Thomas Crooks right there in the BlackRock commercial. Everybody see it? So very weird that the people that are in charge of... Now, Trump doesn't want a war in Ukraine. And again, I don't mean to lay the groundwork every time I say it. I know it's a little bit... And it's not a little bit. It's a lot redundant. But again, Ukraine is not about a war. Ukraine is about covering for malfeasance and profiteering. It's about fascism. It's about the merge, not just fascism inside of Ukraine. I'm talking about United States fascism, the merging of government and corporatism. That's what Ukraine's all about. Now, who is in charge of rebuilding Ukraine? BlackRock. Who has interests in Ukraine being a part of NATO? Because if Ukraine's a part of NATO, they can only buy their weapons from certified arms dealers like Honeywell, Raytheon, Lockheed Martin, which are all owned by BlackRock. And lo and behold, the man who wants to stop the Ukraine war, which would stop the profiteering of people like John Kerry, Pelosi, Romney, Biden, and many others, and many corporate interests, merged again with government, the man who actually wants to stop that war and refuses to tote the toady line, which is will you say categorically that you want Ukraine to win? Why would you want one totalitarian government to defeat another totalitarian government? Why, again, it goes back to Iraq and Iran. Are you rooting for Saddam Hussein or the mullahs inside of Iran? Talk about Sophie's choice, right? You don't ever make those decisions. You simply stay out of them. So the man who wants to stop the profiteering of all of these globalist bourgeois leftist elitists and the covering of the malfeasance inside of Ukraine via the Ukraine war, the man who wants to stop that war, Donald J. Trump, he ends up on a golf course with Routh, one man who was facilitating the war in Ukraine, bringing warm bodies via no-look passports into Ukraine. That guy ends up one hole in front of Trump on the right there, that guy in front of Trump on Sunday with a loaded SKS rifle, which, by the way, was an AK-47, which could have, with a scratched out serial number, could have come from Ukraine. And they both assassins are in BlackRock commercials, as if maybe BlackRock, because they're merged with government, fascism, are they recruiting them? Remember, Crooks was doing his target practice at the DHS gun range. The DHS gun range. Well, who runs DHS? Alejandro Mayorkas, right? All right, let's go to this next thing here. End wokeness video. Hillary Clinton tonight on NBC. The press needs to create a consistent narrative about how dangerous Donald Trump is. So, still just talking about the second shooting, shifting off of Ryan Routh now. Everyone's talking about lowering the temperature of the rhetoric. Is this lowering the temperature of the rhetoric? Play for me, Heather.
And I don't understand why it's so difficult for the press to have a consistent narrative about how dangerous Trump is. You know, the late, great journalist Harry Evans, you know, one time said that, you know, journalists should, you know, really try to achieve objectivity. And by that, he said, I mean, they should cover the object. Well, the object in this case is Donald Trump. His demagoguery, his danger to our country and the world, and stick with it. You know.
So lowering the temperature, calling Donald the press, quote, needs to create a consistent narrative about the object. That's what she calls him. You need to be objective, so you need to focus on the object. So she has removed his humanity and calls him an object and calls him dangerous. So he... This is the left lowering their rhetoric. This is post-second attempt on Donald Trump's life. She calls him an object and calls him dangerous. So, once again, it's very easy to simply say that everything that they say is a lie, everything they say is gaslit propaganda. We know all that, but it's all purposeful. It's all projecting, accusing us of doing the very things that they're doing. But what they're actually trying to do here is actually make things more dangerous for Donald Trump, as they say that we need to stop our dangerous rhetoric. So you're like, what? This is a hypocrisy? No, it's hierarchical hypocrisy, because hypocrisy doesn't apply to the soulless. You and I are bothered by our hypocrisies. All of us have a measure of hypocrisy, and we are bothered by that hypocrisy because you and I, the 1,133 people that are watching right now, we have a soul, and we are bothered by our hypocrisies. They don't give a crap. They don't care about their audacious, bold-faced denial and lying, like Merrick Garland refusing to charge Ryan Routh with an assassination attempt. He refuses to do it. Doesn't bother him at all. He's sleeping like a baby that night. It's like I always talk about Michelle, Mike, and Hussein sleeping like a baby every night. The two dudes sleeping together, spooning whisker on whisker crime, while soldiers are languishing in Leavenworth for ROE violations in wars that they orchestrate. So they orchestrate the wars. They keep the wars going because it benefits their political beneficiaries, and then the people who are the actual heroes on the ground are military fighting men and women who commit some sort of innocuous ROE violation, end up in Leavenworth for 10 years while they just go off on their next cruise. They go off like Mark Zuckerberg in his 150-foot yacht with like four diesel engines in it, and he goes off pontificating about global warming and how you should stop your CO2 emissions. It's that level of absolute audacious hierarchical hypocrisy. So Hillary Clinton calls Donald Trump a dangerous object while simultaneously calling for you and I to lower the temperature on our political rhetoric. Here is a great move. And some people, you know, they kind of turned on DeSantis. Whatever. I never turned on DeSantis. I just chose Trump over DeSantis. I mean, DeSantis running for governor again. I mean, I don't know if he's up this time or not. I don't know if he's running. I don't think he's only got two terms. Not. Yeah, he's only got 2 years in, right? I'm voting for DeSantis. He's the best governor in the country. Absolutely the best governor. I just didn't think he should have run for president. So at that time, especially because Trump really got him the governorship of the state of Florida, I think he needed to be more loyal. But he is the greatest governor in the country. And this shows why right here, Vigilant Vox video. Governor DeSantis moves Trump assassination case under state jurisdiction. Great move. Play for me, Heather.
Today, I'm signing an executive order assigning the case involving the attempted assassination of former President Donald Trump to the office of statewide prosecutor under the supervision of Attorney General Ashley Moody. The suspect, Ryan Routh, is believed to have committed state law violations across multiple judicial circuits in the state. Palm Beach Judicial Circuit, the Judicial Circuit including Martin County, as well as perhaps the Judicial Circuit represented by Broward County. Also, the state of Florida has jurisdiction over the most serious, straightforward offense, which is attempted murder. I've directed state agencies to move expeditiously and to provide full transparency to the public. In my judgment, it's not in the best interest of our state or our nation to have the same federal agencies that are seeking to prosecute Donald Trump leading this investigation, especially when the most serious, straightforward offense constitutes a violation of state law, but not federal law. In addition to holding the suspect accountable, the public deserves to know the truth about how this assassination came to be. And I have directed all state agencies to work expeditiously to be able to uncover the truth in addition to holding this suspect accountable.
This is how all governors should be. This is how all state attorneys should be. This is how all attorney generals should be. It's just like this. It is time to take bold action or the country's gone. If you give, they've already taken their inch and their mile. If you continue to give this globalist blob, this globalist cabal, which controls Washington, D.C., you continue to give them ground, this country is gone. I mean, listen, again, I don't mean to go jump down another wormhole, but I'm just telling you, it's just like, you know, I've got stuff, I'm not going to get to it now. I'm already 1 minute over my prediction, so of 10:07 being done, but it's just like, if you continue to fund this government, we're almost $36 trillion in debt. If you continue to fund this government with another CR to omnibus, if you continue to do this, what amazes me is I guess that people, whether they're Republican or Democrat, and I'm talking about our congressmen and women, don't understand that when my dollar becomes worthless, their dollar becomes worthless. If you continue to give inches and miles, it's over, not just for me, but it's over for you too, because when my dollar is worthless, your dollar is worthless. Same thing happens here with the judicial system or the court system or the law enforcement system in this country. If you continue to cede it to corrupt officials, especially when you don't even have to, it's over. And DeSantis decided, you know what? There is no love loss between DeSantis and Donald Trump. I guarantee you, they do not like each other at all. But DeSantis knows that it's the right thing to not allow the FBI, who raided Mar-a-Lago, to allow Jeffrey Veltri, who hates Donald Trump, who tried to get rid of all Trumpsters inside of the FBI. Jeffrey Veltri is the FBI special agent in charge of the second assassination attempt investigation. He was ordered by Christopher Wray to wipe his entire social media footprint clean of his anti-Trump vitriol. This is the guy investigating the second assassination attempt, in charge of the investigation. So DeSantis is basically saying, screw you, idiots. I'll take it over. And you know what? Now we've got discovery. We get to interview this guy. We full boat discovery, baby. We can find out everything in the state of Florida. Nothing holds us back from being able to find out everything there is to find out about Ryan Routh. There it is now in our hands. It is at our discretion. The most serious charges, which is attempted murder, fall under Florida jurisdiction. So DeSantis is saying, you know what? He didn't say it outright. But he said it at least, I'm thinking it's not really subconsciously, but he didn't say it outright, but he made the point of, I don't trust the FBI. He made that point. He said, you know what? I don't trust the FBI because these are people that have raided Mar-a-Lago, arrested Donald Trump, charged him with all these various nefarious, non-existent crimes. I'm not going to trust them to run this investigation. You know what? We'll do it. Thank you very much. We'll do it. And that's exactly what he should have done. All right, let me hop right into this. Let me do this P. Diddy stuff. So, of course, when we're finding out about the CIA cutout, Ryan Routh, now, lo and behold, the deep state response. Now, they've been watching Sean P. Diddy Combs for decades, for many, many years. He's been having his various parties, his freak out parties, whatever it's called. We've been doing that for years. Been suspected of trafficking, sex trafficking, been suspected of trafficking even in children. His next door neighbor has seen vans of kids being showing up at his house. He's had big name kids who were celebrities under his tutelage, so to speak, mentoring these kids, right? Now, again, let me just lay this groundwork, and I got to do this briefly, but I don't even know one song from Sean Combs. I have no idea. I don't know who he's affiliated with. I don't know what side of the rap gang war he was on, if any. I know nothing about any of his music or anything else. I don't know. And here's the thing. He is a fervent, devout, religious Democrat. So why are the Democrats coming after him? It's because of the concept that I talked about earlier. They orchestrate lots and lots of crimes, and they allow lots and lots of crimes as long as you are on the right side of politics. And what I mean by the right side is the left side of politics. As long as you are on the left side of politics, you can basically do whatever you want in this country, as we have seen unfold under the Biden administration. Now, again, the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, they orchestrate a lot of crimes, and also not just the FBI, but the entire DOJ. They orchestrate a lot of crimes, and they allow a lot of crimes as long as you're a leftist, and then they will arrest the person when it's politically beneficial to the Democratic Party, and they will not arrest people when it's politically beneficial to the Democratic Party, I believe it was even after Jeffrey Epstein was dead, maybe just before he was dead, he still had an office at Harvard. Because it was very politically beneficial. Many people believe Jeffrey Epstein worked for the CIA and Mossad, and basically getting people in endless honey traps, taping them as Combs was doing, ended up with Combs in his mansion, every room in his mansion. You guys can just side by side this. This is the raid. This is what happened today. So this is the raid of P. Diddy's house here, Sean Combs' house. So this, I just wanted to show you, you know, I can't imagine having to show up at this house with this amount of armament, but hey, whatever. So I mean, look at this. how many FBI SWAT team members do you need? I mean, what are they going to face at this? There's Combs getting arrested right there. So it ends up Combs has a camera in every room in his mansion. And there was a lot of trying to frame this exactly correctly, but there was basically a lot of homosexual honeypotting going on, where basically humiliation honeypotting, where he would get people. I don't know how this works as a heterosexual man. I don't get it. How he would get heterosexual men to commit homosexual acts on video, but none of them knew that he was being videoed. And then allegedly he would extort these people or control these people via, I have these homosexual acts that you committed on videotape. That is part of what he was charged with. So there's a litany of charges: sex trafficking, prostitution, transporting prostitutes across state lines, sex trafficking, in other words, racketeering, numerous gun charges. He had AR-15s with the serial numbers scratched out on them. Numerous charges. None of them, though, involve child sex trafficking, which is odd considering the reports that were initially reported about what he was doing there. But he would use this as leverage. He was leveraging all these people with the knowledge that he had via the videotapes, probably told him he had videotapes, leveraged them to be loyal to him, to make money for him, to stay on his record label, all of those different things. The only problem is, to go to bigger picture now, why would the Democratic Party now turn on him after him doing this, and they knew about it for decades. You're like, Democratic Party. Yeah, the Democratic Party. That's the FBI. That's the CIA. That's the State Department. That's DHS. That's the Democratic Party. Everything in Washington, D.C. is establishment Democrats. Establishment Republicans are Democrats. There's every establishment Republicanism. The RNC run by Ronna Romney McDaniel is the Democratic Party. Ronna Romney McDaniel and Mitt Romney, Willard Romney, are Democrats. They're actually Democrats. Doesn't, you know, they're just rhinos or they're weak Republicans. No, they're not. There's no such thing. They are actually Democrats. If you notice, they always end up, like John McCain and Lindsey Graham, legislating for the Democrats. So why would the Democratic Party, i.e. the deep state, now turn on their guy? Now go, just guys, you know what, Aaron, just run through the next three videos. I just want to show you, and you can just keep them all muted. Just run them and run them each for like 10 seconds. Just to show everybody who Sean, just while I'm talking, I won't even necessarily address them. I just want to show you who he was hanging around with there. Okay, is that the RNC or the DNC? Why isn't he hanging around any Republicans? I mean, he isn't even hanging around weak-kneed Republicans like the Bushes. He's hanging around with Hillary Clinton. All right, switch to the next one. There he is with Barack Obama. There you go, Barack Obama. Where's his videos with Republicans? Where's his videos with high-ranking Republicans? None to be found. Zero. He didn't hang around with them at all. Go to the next one for me. And there he is, of course, on Jimmy Kimmel, a known propagandist for the Democratic Party. So why did they turn on him? For two reasons. And then I'll stop talking. Two reasons why he turned on them. Because it wasn't just people in the business, the music business, that were being taped at his house. It wasn't just them. There was also politicians at his freakout parties. So now, just like with Epstein, he is now no longer politically viable for them. He is no longer politically expedient for them. He is what's called a political liability for them in an election year. And maybe he tried to leverage the wrong person or tried to leverage the wrong person to get the wrong position. So now they're shutting him down. He is a criminal. Everything that he has been accused of, innocent until proven guilty, there is enough evidence to at least do a capias against him, a probable cause affidavit against him. But it is very politically, so that's reason number one, is that he is now a political liability. And then reason number two, to pull the trigger now, is because of the exposure of Ryan Routh. They need a different story other than Ryan Routh, because Ryan Routh is absolutely undeniably a CIA deep state cutout assassin. All right, go to the next one for me, the tweet, Shadow of Ezra tweet. Comedian, follows Shadow of Ezra, follows nobody. He's followed by like 200,000-300,000 people. Comedian Eddie Griffin claims that Diddy is being sacrificed by powerful forces. He suggests that the raids on Diddy were orchestrated by industry giants like Universal Music Group, Clive Davis, Lucian Grange, who allegedly conspired to seize blackmail tapes Diddy had on them. See? And who are all those? I can almost guarantee you who owns Universal Music. I can guarantee it's BlackRock. I mean, I can guarantee it. There may be layers of deniability, but I guarantee you, tied heavily to Democratic Party causes. According to Griffin, these figures leveraged their connections with the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security, run by Alejandro Mayorkas, to confiscate incriminating evidence. It's all a cover-up for two reasons. He's a political liability to Democratic Party candidates, and they want to make sure that they have a new story. I'm surprised we didn't have a mass shooting today, because that's the other thing that I like to orchestrate. The deep state, the global cabal. So the two reasons are he is now a political liability and they need a cover story to take the pressure off of the Ryan Routh story. That's the purpose of it. All right, 10:20. I didn't make it. 13 minutes over. All right, Rumble Rants, Ugly Stick, $20. Fedora the Explorer, $20. Tammy L. Margritter, $10. Thank you guys so much for giving to the podcast. Stick around for the post game. It's awesome. I'll be in the chat during the post game. Love you all. 10:21. What's that? 20 minutes past my... No, wait. What did I say? 10:07?
Oh, yeah, man. I think 10:07.
14 minutes past my prediction. All right. Love you all. Appreciate you all. Back here tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. God bless you.
Those Christians, though, don't pass the test. And instead, they become controlled opposition for the devil. They just change their theology. They didn't pass the test, but you know what? God's just all about being in the midst of our struggles. That's not a Bible verse. It's not a Bible verse. God wants you to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, not ever struggle. If you do these things, you will never struggle. Those things are really the four essentials: prayer, Bible study, worship, fellowship. Well, I tried that. Yeah, you tried it for a day, you tried it for a week, tried it for a month, maybe even tried it for a year. But you gave the devil 50 years and you gave God 50 minutes. I'm telling you right now, if you prayed and studied the word every day, you would never, ever struggle in your walk with God.
If you enjoyed watching the Tom Lipley podcast, please consider investing in our program. Go to TomLipley.com and donate $25 or more, and we will send you this TLP mug warmer. We look forward to you tuning in next week, and thank you for giving.